I just want to say, really pray for your pastor today. He's seated probably on the platform getting ready to preach in just a little while, and he's thinking, I've got some nut preaching for me there. It's got to be going through his mind. You know it is. My name is Steve Nutt, N-U-T-T, Steve Nutt, and that has to be going through his mind at this moment. So you pray for him. I appreciate the privilege to be able to preach for you this morning and preach with you this morning because it's a great honor to be able to share God's Word. And I take it as a privilege. And this is the pastor's baby. Did you know that? We just saw a keynote with her baby back there. And this is the pastor's baby here. And he loves you. And the pastor and the pastor's wife want the best for you. They want you to be at the place where God can bless you. Did you know that? Your pastor wants each one of you to be at that special place in your life so that God can bless you. That's his desire. And we want to try to carry that on this morning. And then Joe Reed and his wife Akino, we were their pastor in Okinawa, Japan. And then also I was preaching in Hawaii at a couple of churches. And he was there, he and his family there in Hawaii. And then in Germany, I was preaching in Germany. And he and his wife were there in a church in Germany. So, you know, it's he can't get away from me. Now I'm here and he's... he thinks I'm checking up on him. That's what he thinks, you know. But that's nothing unusual. You might think that's unusual, but in military missions, that's not unusual. I just finished a meeting a couple of weeks ago at a church over here at Sierra Hills Baptist Church, and Brother A.J. Billings is the pastor, and I was his pastor, his family's pastor in Okinawa, Japan. They surrendered to missions, went to West Coast Baptist College, and now he's pastoring over there, and I was able to preach a meeting for him. So it's really not unusual in military missions, but it's exciting just to be a part of it. This is my wife, Frankie, and we've been married 52 years. And I tell her, if she's ever going to try to leave me, I'm going with her. I mean, you know, I'm going with her 52 years. I mean, what would I do without her? And she's been my wife, she's been my friend, she's been my secretary, and she's been my assistant and everything else, you know. She's just a great, great opportunity. But I wanted to tell you, before we get into Psalms 100 this morning, I wanted to tell you that I said my name is Steve Nutt, so I was born a nut. There's not anything I can do about that. I'm sorry. I was born a nut, I'll die a nut. So I'm a nut by birth, but my wife is a nut by choice. She married a nut, you see. So, and I tell folks that I'm screwed onto the right boat, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it sometimes I think it takes a nut to serve the Lord, somebody that God can use. He said he'd use the weak things and so forth. And so I'm so glad that the Lord allows us to serve him. It's a wonderful privilege to be able just to serve our Lord. And military missions, I'll quickly tell you this, in military missions, what we do is we have churches, our mission board, we have churches outside military bases around the world. Wherever we can have them, we have them outside. That's off base so that they can come off base and be a member of a fundamental independent Baptist church, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church like this here, and off base. You know, they can go to the chapels on base, or they can come off base to a church and be a part of it, just like you're a church here. If you could just picture, the best way to picture it, if you could just pick us up and set us outside a military base somewhere, that's what it's like. Except that I would be the oldest one in the building, though, and because of our young military. So that would be that's the way it works. But we are able to serve the Lord doing that, and what we do now, we're back from Japan, and I am the logistics coordinator for military missions. And the GI banner that's on the back, three different issues back there, if you'll get those in the prayer card and pray for us, we're the assistant editor. My wife and I, the assistant editor for our God's Infantry banner, GI banner. And we put it together, do the work for it and that. And then we coordinate all the fill-in ministry for BIMI. And up until... last year, we averaged over 9 months out of the year filling in. And then in January, we head back to Japan for 3 weeks, preaching meetings there. And so you pray for us as we do this. We want to serve the Lord. In fact, our message this morning is on how to serve the Lord. If you would, if you don't mind, stand and let's read Psalms 100. Let me read it to you. Just stand and Bible's ready. And look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Father, we're so thankful that we are able to serve you. We know that you want us to know how to do that. And so, Lord, we ask you to please meet with us today and work in each and every heart that's here. And, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, I ask you, Lord, to save them today. Please do not let them leave this service without being saved this morning. Lord, we ask you to do that. And then, Lord, there's some here that have spiritual problems, and I ask you, Lord, that you'll look at each one of our hearts and work in our hearts according to your plan and your will. So, Lord, this morning, we love you. Now, we know we don't love you enough, but we love you, and we desire to love you more, and we desire to please you. So we hand you our hearts, our lives, our bodies, and all that we have, and we trust you with it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, you can be seated. In Psalms 100, we're going to look at how to serve the Lord. You know, the Lord's interested in us serving him. We're to serve the Lord. First of all, we may not get to all of this, but I'll give you three things here, and we'll go as far as we can. First of all, we're to serve the Lord with our heart. If you look in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we're to serve the Lord with our heart. And then with our head, look in verse 2-3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We're to know some things. We have to know some things. And to serve the Lord with the right attitude, we have to know some things. And then we're to serve the Lord in his house. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, I want you to look at this carefully with me. Serving the Lord is the greatest thing that we can do here today. If you're saved, the greatest thing that you can do is serve God today. And if you think about this, you know, we're not coming here this morning to decide whether or not to be a servant of God. If you're a Christian, you're already a servant of God. What we won't decide this morning would be, are we going to be a good servant or a bad servant? What we want to learn this morning is how to be a good servant, how to serve God. How would God like for you? How would he want you and I to serve him? How would he like for us to do that? So the Lord tells us here how to serve him. We need to serve the Lord in the right way. That's important. And the Lord tells us, and he gives us one of the right ways to serve him. And first of all, it's the condition of the heart. In verse 1 and 2, he talks about the condition of our heart. We're to serve God with our heart, so the condition of our heart is important. If you notice in verse 1, he said, make a joyful noise. And then in verse 2, he said, uses the word gladness and singing. And so we're to serve the Lord joyfully and with gladness. That's how we're to serve the Lord. And we're to do it with our hearts, and our hearts have to be right in order for us to do that. Now, he's talking about the condition of our heart while we serve him. We must look this morning at how each one of us, the very condition of our heart as we serve the Lord. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to point out something else in verse 1. Look in verse 1. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then he says, all ye lands. Now, this is for all of us. All ye lands. It's for all of us, every one of us here. This is for us. We're to serve the Lord. And then, of course, it's for each one of us. Look at what he says. He says, all ye lands. That is every one of us. That's each one of us, each and every one of us. And so we need to take a quick look at our heart. And all of us need the right attitude for serving God. I don't know about you, but I have to work at it. I have to work at it. It does not come natural for me to have the right attitude of heart to serve God. I have to work at it. And if I slack up, if I stay out of the Word and stay out of my prayer life, then my attitude is not right. Now, the reason for this is your church needs you. They need you. If you're a member of this church, your church needs you in the boat. And they need you to take up the oar, and they need you to join in and be rowing in the boat with the Lord. They need that. That's what they need. They don't need to, the church does not need any of us standing up and rocking the boat. What we all need to do, if we're a member of this church, what you need to do is to get in the boat, be seated, and go to work. Go to work. And you'll be surprised at where you can go and what you can do when folks are working together. And so we all want to have the right attitude. Now, I said none of us automatically have this, so we have to work at it. And this is very important because most people think they're okay in this. They think they're okay. They make excuses for how they are. Hey, you know, I'm this way. God made me this way, and that's the way I am. But we all need to know that our attitude can change, and we can have a good attitude, and we can have a right attitude, and God can use us. And if we're going to be the right kind of servants, we're going to have to make a joyful noise, and we're going to have to serve the Lord with gladness, and with singing. We're going to have to do that. The Bible tells us that. It's not automatic to serve the Lord with gladness. It's not automatic to be happy. The natural thing for us is to be down, isn't it? Isn't that the natural thing? We want to be down. It's natural for us to be complaining. It's natural for us to be negative. And we're not that way. Shouldn't be that way. But that is the natural way for us to be. We're to have work at having gladness and serving the Lord with gladness. We're to work at being positive and being positive in our service for the Lord. It's natural for us to see wrong. It's natural for us to look at the bad rather than the good. And we don't have to work at fault finding. We don't have to work at being negative, but we do have to work at being joyful and serving God with a pleasant attitude and with the right attitude of heart. We have to work at that. So I don't know about you, but I want to do that. I desire to please God. Now, we know that until a person repents of some things, a Christian repents of some things, we cannot be joyful. We cannot have gladness of heart if there's sin in our lives. We can't do that. You know, the same person, the psalmist that wrote this psalm, God used the same person to write Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, in verse 2, the psalmist said, in verse 12, the psalmist said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David, whenever he was in sin, you remember, he asked the Lord to restore unto him the joy of God's salvation. He said, of thy salvation. And so we cannot have joy in our hearts and in our lives if we have sin in our hearts and in our lives. We cannot have joy until we are right with God, doing what God would have us to do and serving with the right attitude. Now remember this, it's going to take work to do that. We have to work at it every single day of our lives. We have to work at being joyful, work at being positive, work at being right. And there must be repentance. You and I must repent. If we do not have the joy of God's salvation, it's because something's wrong in our lives. And if you and I are willing to put the sin out of our lives and hearts, then we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord and we can serve Him with gladness. Sin robs us of our joy. Are you ready this morning to make a decision and to be moved by God to serve Him with joy and gladness and happiness in your heart and in your life? The Lord wants us to serve Him gladly. And, you know, He's not much interested in all the problems around us and all the problems in the world as He is about how we serve Him. He wants us, you know, there are a lot of things that we think are important, but one thing that God thinks is important, and that's His promises in the Word of God. If we look at people, we'll fail. If we look at people, we'll be slack in our lives. And the Lord wants us to look to the great promises of the Bible. God wants us to look to that, the great promises of the Bible. If we want to serve Him, we have got to be able to look at God's promises and believe God's promises. I can serve Him happy and joyful if I believe God's Word and I believe the promises of God. What about Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, what about that promise? The Lord wants us to know that. He wants us to believe that. Do we believe that? Do we believe that that verse is there for us and that we can qualify for that verse and God can work things out in our lives, that we can follow Him and serve Him? Do we believe that? Years ago, I pastored in Tennessee, then went to Germany, not as a missionary, but went over to help a church to the U.S. military get organized and get the church going and get it chartered and help them find a missionary that had support. And so when my wife and I went over, we did that, and then we came back, and I pastored for 7.5 years in Georgia, and I just could not get over the military missions. I mean, it was there, you know, just couldn't get over it. And the Lord had some reasons there for us to, for 7.5 years. But after 7.5 years, my wife and I surrendered to missions. We surrendered to missions. And whenever we surrendered to missions, we went with, I resigned my church, and we went with BIMI. We were going to go back to Germany. There was a church in Wiesbaden, Germany, that we could go to. And we were thinking about that and praying about it. And then a church in Japan came open. I met with our director, and I met with Brother Gibson's dad back here, and they talked to me, and they said, you know what? Said, would you pray about going to Japan? Would you pray about it? And I had German driving license already, and had one semester of German. And I thought, well, you know, it just looks like I ought to go back to Germany. But I said, I'll pray about it. I prayed about it. To make it short, we went over, preached a mission conference, and then we looked at the church, and the church was it was really down. They couldn't even pay their rent. The landlord was accepting partial rent on the church building and to keep them in the building, and they just had a handful of people. And I was on deputation and had about 50% of my support. So I told them, I said, well, I'd be interested. I'll do whatever the Lord wants, and I'd be interested, but I need to raise some more support. I need to do that. And so they said, well, we need you to come. We need you here. So I told them, I said, well, I'll get in touch with you. I'm on deputation, raise some more support, and then I'll get in touch with you. And I got back, and I was preaching a mission conference in Murphy, North Carolina. And in Japan, they're ahead of us there. You know, it's nighttime there now. And so they're ahead of us in Georgia, North Carolina. They were 3 hours ahead of that, you know, so further back. So Sunday morning, I went into the church, and the pastor said, you've got a call from Japan here, and said, they've traced you down here and said, you can take it in my office. I went in and they said, well, you've got to come. We need you to come. And I said, well, I really need to raise some more support. And they said, well, after you left, I just left there. And so this was Sunday morning our time. So it was Sunday night their time. Sunday they had voted me in as pastor. And they said, you know, we're expecting you to come. And I prayed about it. And boy, you know, there's so much I could tell you, but I was scared to death. I had little support, and they couldn't pay their rent, all of it. You know, they were barely making it. I didn't know what to do. But this verse right here, God used to work in my heart and in my life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If God wanted me in Japan, He'd take care of it. He'd take care of it. So we prayed about it, and I had about 60% of my support, and whenever we made the decision, and so we prayed about it, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and not out loud now, but the Lord just spoke to my heart for let Him take care of the finances. It was not my job to take care of the finances, to let God take care of it. All I had to do was go. That means that I could trust him to take care of my wife and I. It means I could trust him to take care of the church. And so am I going to believe this or not? And so I had a battle with that. After a full night of scripture reading and praying, I decided that I could trust God. That he could be trusted anyway, no matter what I decided, but I decided that I could trust God. And so we called him and told him that we would come, gave him a date. And we were walking through a flea market. My wife and I were traveling, and we took a few days off to pray about this. And a man was building chests there. He was building hope chests and building all kind of things. And the Lord spoke to my heart about it, and he said, you know, if you just put out a box, I'll take care of the money. You don't even pass the offering plate. Now, that's scary, isn't it? I mean, you know what? I'd planned when I got there. I'd get up and we'd pass off. I'd rake them over the coals good and we'd pass the offering plate, you know. But the Lord said, just put out a box. Just put out boxes and I'll take care of it. And I thought to myself, you know, boy, I don't know about this now, but I prayed about it. And so I asked the man, I said, can you build a treasure chest, an old treasure chest? You build one. He said, you draw it and I can build it. Well, I measured what I wanted. My wife drew it. We gave it to him. He built me two treasure chests. I took those treasure chests to Japan. We got there, and I told him, I said, listen, I don't have all of my support. You do not have enough finances coming in to pay the full amount of your rent and all the utilities and things. I said, so I am not going to do anything. I'm going to preach from the Word of God. I'm going to preach on giving and missions and so forth as we come to it and as God leads, but I'm not going to beg you and plead with you and shame you into giving. I said, and I put the treasure chest out. I put them out, put the offering envelopes and pens and put the treasure chest out. And I said, now, here's what we're going to do. You can give. I said, you can give and not love God. You can give for all kind of reasons, but you can give and not love God, but you cannot love God and not give. That's an impossibility, isn't it? Isn't it impossible to say, I love God, and then you don't give? You know, that's loving is giving, isn't it? And giving is living, and living is giving. And so here's what I told them. And then I put the treasure chest out, and I left it to them. Sometime I forgot to even mention them. You know, sometimes I forgot to even mention that that's how we do it. And one day that I forgot it, there's a family came, and they said, is this a Baptist church? And I said, sure it is. They said, you didn't pass the offering plate. I said, oh, here are the treasure chests. I forgot to mention it. Boy, you know. And but the Lord took care of it anyway. It was just a few weeks, maybe a month and 6 weeks or something like that, and the landlord was over there trying to tell me, and I couldn't speak Japanese, and he couldn't speak much English, and he was trying to tell me rent was going up, a lot of cars, much people, you know. So Lord bless so that the money, the offerings doubled, way over doubled. It's amazing what God can do if we just trust him. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to do that. I'm saying that God wanted me to do it. He wanted me to do that. He wanted me to take this verse. Now, it may be something else with you, but the verse works for you just like it works for me. This verse is in the Bible. It's a promise from God. And, you know, this promise can change our hearts and our lives if we believe this verse. If we believe it, God can change our hearts and our lives. And so not only that, if we're going to serve the Lord with our hearts, we're going to have to believe the Word of God, believe some promises. And then we need to know some things. We serve God with our head, not only our heart, but with our head. He said in Psalm 100, the Lord is talking about the head. He said, know ye, that the Lord, he is God. If you're to serve the Lord joyfully, then you have to know something. We have to put something into our head. We have to know something. And what do we need to know? We need to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. There are a lot of people who are sad and unhappy whenever, if we believe this, we know within our hearts that the Lord is our creator. We got to know it and believe it and act on it, that the Lord is the creator. You know, the name Lord in all caps and all capital letters is Jehovah, and so we see that when we see this in the Bible, in all caps, Lord, we're to think about him as our personal God. And when we see the name Jesus, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Jesus is his personal name. So what do we have to know? We have to know that the Lord God of heaven, the one we know personally, is the creator. He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when we think about God, we should think first about him as the creator. Know this, it is he that have made us. Do you know a lot of people not happy with themselves? There are a lot of, there are folks that are not satisfied with their lives the way God made them. They're just not satisfied. They say I'm too short. They say I'm too tall. Or they say my nose is too big. Or they say my ears are wrong. And a lot of people just not satisfied with themselves. Did you know that? They're not satisfied. And I want you to know, if God made you a man, that's a special thing. If God made you a woman, that's a special, special thing. And God made us. And if he made you short, that's the way God wants you. Some people are not satisfied with the way that God made them. Now, let me give you a true story. Years ago, I read this, and we had to do readings when I was in Bible school, and I'd go to the library and do my readings, and I read this one here, and boy, it really stirred my heart. And this is a true story. It happened a long, long time ago. A king in France was out hunting one day. He was dressed in his hunting clothes, and he left the hunting party because he had heard about and saw, whenever they were traveling, a little church out there that was having a meeting. And the people did not know who he was, the way he was dressed. And when he went into the church, the priest was really deformed. I mean, he was horrible looking, just deformed. And the king sat down, he looked at him, and boy, he felt sorry for him. He felt so sorry for him. And he was waiting for the service. And right before the preacher got up to preach, the pastor got up to preach, a man sang a special, and he sang Psalm 100. He sang this psalm right here. And when he got to that part, it is he that had made us, this priest stood up and stopped him. He said, no, no. He said, that's not the way that goes. And he quoted Psalm 100. And when he got to the part that said, it is he that had made us, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole congregation. And the king was weeping. And here was this deformed, grotesque priest standing up there saying, it is he that had made us. And after it was over, the king went to him and he said, evidently, you have got peace in this with your God, with God. And he said, I'm going to make you head of all of your religion. Now, God made me like I am. He made me a nut. He made me like I am. Know this. It says, not we ourselves. We did not get to where we are by natural selection. Didn't get there by natural selection. We did not evolve to where we are. If you want to serve the Lord with gladness, know ye that it is he that it made us. Wouldn't that change some lives? Wouldn't that change some lives if we could serve God joyfully and happily because it is he that it made us? And then it says, know this also, here's something else. We are his people. We are his people. Now, look at that. He said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that it made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We belong to him. We're his people, and the Lord wants us to look to our calling. Not many of us are wise. Not many of us are mighty. Not many of us are noble. But God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. If we believe that, we know that God can use us. You see, this really stirred my heart because as just an ignorant little Georgia country boy, right out of the country, I knew that God could use me. Why? Because he said, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. And I know that God can use me. I'm not much, but I know that God can use me. I can serve him with joy and gladness. And he also provides a pasture. He said, we are the sheep of his pasture. He gives us a pasture. We're his sheep. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've all gone astray from God if we're saved. We've gone away from God, our rightful owner. We've gone astray like sheep. And God has a way for us to move toward, a way, a path that we can move in. And we've all wandered. We've all left the green pastures. Instead of walking with God, we went our own way. Have you ever seen yourself as one who's gone astray? If you've ever seen yourself as one that's gone astray, and then you came back to the shepherd brought you back, and you came back to the shepherd, then you're saved. But if you've never seen yourself gone astray and come back, you've never been saved. 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Every real Christian can say, "I remember when I was astray. I was astray, and I remember when I came back to his green pastures. I remember when I was saved and I came to him." Every Christian can say that. You might not remember the exact day. You might not remember the exact date. But you remember when you got saved. You know that. And if we're to serve the Lord, we have to know this. And then if you're to serve the Lord, we must do it in his house. Quickly, in verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We must enter with thanksgiving for what he's done and with praise for who he is. You know, he does a lot for us. He's done a lot for us. In closing, look at verse 5. And it says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Now think about this. For the Lord is good. He is good enough. He is good enough to show me that I was a sinner. He was good enough to provide a Savior for me. He is good enough to provide everything that I need, a pasture for me. His mercy is everlasting. This means that I'm saved. I can serve him with joy. I can serve him with gladness. I can come before his presence with singing and praise. No matter what anyone says, I know that I have God's word here. It says, "And his truth endureth to all generations." No matter what anybody teaches, no matter what anyone says, I have God's word here. I have this book, and I have no doubt of that. And I have God's clear, pure word, and I can know what I need to do. And I can know what to tell others to do because I have God's pure, clean word. You know, God's been good to us. He's blessed. And whenever we think about how good God is to us, we need to remember that he wants us to serve him in with gladness. And I told you that we fill in as missionaries, we fill in with military missions and other things, BIMI. And we were in Japan, and my wife had 4 strokes in Japan and had 1 since she's been back, and they've got her under control. Everything, she's doing great now. And I had heart trouble, and then we came back, and then I went back for 4.5 months and had a heart attack. And last year, and we're back. We came back 4 years ago, and then went back for 4.5 months, and we're back. And so what we're doing is living at Baptist International Missions. That's BIMI. They're in Harrison, Tennessee. We live on the property, and then we fill in around the world and preach mission conferences, teach the new missionaries that come to candidate school. We help teach first and second year and do all kind of things. That whatever they need, we can do, we try to do. But what I wanted to tell you is that they had called me one day and they said, "We need you to go to Japan, back to Japan." And said, I was standing there. In fact, our church was having a couples retreat in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I walked down in the lobby and there on the news was an earthquake in Japan, and 9.0 earthquake. And my wife and I went out, and we went to breakfast, and they called. And they wanted to know if I could help them get in touch with all the missionaries there and see if any of them were hurt. They'd heard from some of them, but some of them they had not heard from. And then they said, "We need you to be ready to go to Japan." The missionary there at Yokosuka Baptist Church, he's doing a great job there. He was scheduled to come back and go into another field in August. And then this happened, the earthquake happened, and, And so he called BIMI and said, I've got three girls and my wife, and I want to get them out of here. They'd closed the naval base there and evacuated most of them because of they were down further, but because of the radiation. And so BIMI asked me if I'd go, and he called me and asked me if I'd come. So I wouldn't take my wife because of this. First time she's not gone with me, that I've gone by myself, but I just didn't want her there. And so I got there, and they had 11 people. And when I got there, I flew in on Saturday morning, Saturday morning I went to the grocery store, and there was nothing on the shelves. I mean, it was just empty. You know, everybody bought up everything, you know, and there was some dog food and cat food, but I wasn't that hungry. So I had beef jerky. I went to Costco before I went over there, and I had a suitcase full of beef jerky, all different kind of stuff, you know. And so I lived on that for a little while, but I went there. Here's what I wanted to tell you. As I got there, we had 11 people in the church. It had been running around 100 and military people and Japanese, and all that was left was just a few Americans and a few Japanese. So I said, I asked them on Wednesday night, I said, what do y'all want to do? I said, they asked me to come over here and see, figure out how long we could go before we have to do something, if they keep the base closed or if they close it permanently. We didn't know what had happened. There was no idea what would happen there. And so a few people on base, but it was evacuated and closed. And we had a few Japanese people. And I asked them, I said, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? Would you like to just start over? Or you just want to hang around and wait? And they said, let's start over. And they got excited, and we went three or four times a week passing out Japanese tracts, and then two or three times a week, we went just about, you know, several times a week outside the base and wait for them to come off, the ones that were there. In 2.5 months, we had 16 people saved, and the biggest miracle of all, it was 6 Japanese saved. That was a tremendous miracle. But that shook them. They had an earthquake in their life, and it shook them. Our church got together, and we had other churches for the U.S. military send in money, and we bought rice and clothes and food and everything, and we took it up to them up there. And nobody got saved up there. But we came back down, and we passing out tracts and everything, and we didn't have but 2 people come that we gave Japanese tracts to, but we had Japanese people that came. Now, God honors our soul winning and our witness, and we had 6 Japanese saved at church. And that's just a tremendous experience. The thing about it is, we left them, got another missionary and left them there. Church is running over 100 now, doing a great job. And the missionary there is doing a tremendous job. But here's the thing about it. We can trust God. We can trust Him. I can trust Him with my life. I can trust Him with everything that I have. I can trust Him. And I want to ask you right now, this moment, if you're not saved, are you ready to get saved? If you are saved, are you ready to really believe God? And just have everyone I've met so far has just had a great, joyful attitude. You have. But I don't know everyone here. But I'll tell you what, I know that God could bless this church in a great and powerful way. I know He is, but I know He could bless it in a greater and powerful way if we allow Him to do that. If all of us will just serve God with our hearts, work on our hearts, our attitude and condition of our heart, and then know some things, believe God for some things, just believe Him and trust Him and serve Him in His house, I know that God can do a great work in our hearts and in our lives. I'm going to ask you, if you would, let's stand our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. And here's a question I'd like to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you'd say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know it. No doubt about it. I'm saved.